Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Winter Federal.
Swammerheist.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
1 million rubles.
Hello everyone, Shannon Guth here for our week 8 exit interviews for Australian Survivor All Stars. We have both boots this week. First up is Tarzan, and then 18 minutes in we do chat to Brooke. And those are the only two episodes that were this week, so hopefully for the finale next week we should have all of the final three, as far as I know. So hope you guys enjoy this. Both two really fun and insightful chats. And yeah, I will see you on the other side. Hi, Tarzan. Thank you so much for coming on to Rob Has a Podcast. Sorry to see you go last night, but I'm keen to get into your headspace for some of the season.
Well, there's plenty of room in that headspace. You're welcome. Jump on in.
Well, Tarzan, you know, last night, the thing that was going to save you, if it could be anything, was Dave playing his idol on you. Did you have hope going into that tribal council that that was something that he would do?
Not really, no. I knew we'd have to play it. We had discussed it, but, you know, the last thing I'd want Dave to do was to risk his own position for me, and I think he did the right thing in the end, and, you know, he played the game well. I mean, he's a champion. So, no regrets. I think he played it well, and, yeah, I would like to have just seen it come down to the votes, to be honest. You know, I would like to have seen my alliance stick with me. The three of us played against Sean and we'd have sent her home.
Yeah, I mean, did you feel some betrayal from, I guess, like a Mo as well, who did stick with Sean at that stage to vote against you?
Yeah, I don't think it's betrayal because obviously we're in a game as well. And I think that, you know, Mo was trying to sort of, you know, get... Well, she's just trying to play both sides of the fence, really, wasn't she? So in the hope that, you know, something else was to eventuate, she was in with Sean. So, I mean, at the end of the day, if it went a different way, we'd be talking about another game. But I've got no regrets for this one, none whatsoever.
We did see you speaking to Dave about wanting to sit at the end with him and even thinking that he would win if that were to happen, which is kind of like a unique thing for a Survivor player to have that sense of loyalty almost above self-preservation. So can you talk us through a bit of that perspective? Because I really do think it's quite rare from a player.
I think for me, it comes down to the experience as well as the fact that you might have a chance of winning the money. And what I've seen a lot of players make the mistake of is either hinging their whole game on how they just play the game or on just actually winning the money. And then they become disheartened because they can only get one of the two possibly, or they get none. I've seen them being, you know, upset with the way they played and not won the money. So I'm not that kind of guy. Like, I enjoyed every moment of it. And for me, had I have sat in the final two and lost to Dave, that's a win. And it would have been a brilliant journey to have done that. Like, I still got to taste most aspects of the game. I got to go to jury. I got to play the whole game. I thought I was pretty good in a lot of challenges. I kind of knocked a few of them out of the park there along the way. And, yeah, so for me, it's the journey. And I know that pisses a few of the players off when I say that, but I'm not playing for them. I'm playing for me. And I had a brilliant time. You know, I'd pay money to do it. It's such a great experience.
Yeah, I mean, that line where you told Harry to chew on this when you pushed him off in the challenge, that's one to remember, so for sure.
Well, you know, I think we all had a bit of the game. Harry's a great player, you know, he's a great character, as is AK and Lockie and all those guys. Nick's marvellous on the puzzles and stuff. And I think, you know, when you look at a game like Survivor, if we all played like AK, it'd be as boring as if you all played like me. And the reality is it's a good mix of, you know, contrast that makes Survivor the game that it is. And, you know, it's good to have a bit of fun with the boys. It's nice knocking the guys out too, you know. Like, I smashed Harry a few times in the water, and even Lee, you know, I peeled him like a banana off the ball. And Zach, I mean, I'm the old dog going in and I'm having a bit of fun. It's good.
Yeah, I want to talk about some of the relationships that you had with some of the players. You know, you started on this Vakama alliance that went on for so long and was so strong. So how did that start with such a strong basis?
Well, we were the underdogs. I think, you know, because we were in it so long, I think people actually forget that, you know, myself and Matt and Jackie and Mo, you know, and Jerry at the start, we were on the bottom. We were absolutely as bottom as you could get. And it's only by the sheer tenacity of Matt's, you know, brilliance in the game as well, and saving Jackie and get the longevity that we did. And, of course, then our saving grace was getting over to Tribe Swap, which then changed everything. But, you know, we started on the bottom. We hadn't been at the top. And it was always funny because, you know, when you're at the bottom, the stronger alliance is always trying to pick you off. But when that, you know, when those tables turn, they're the first ones to go about how a strong alliance is a boring alliance. But, hey, funny. You know, I think we both get a chance to be very boring. Right?
Well, someone who wasn't in that early Vatomo alliance was obviously Dave, and you seemed so close to him towards the end. So how did that relationship develop from there?
Yeah, so what you actually don't see is that from the get-go, and I mean, obviously the edit that we see is a brilliant edit, but what you don't see, you see Matt and Dave are basically working a deal from day one behind the scenes, and as Dave says, he's the, what's he call himself? He called himself the mole, but he thinks of a better word for himself. But anyway, the reality is he was the mole. I was from day probably two already, me and Dave, had each other's backs. You don't see it, but in the background, we've got each other, and like there's at least twice when we're in Vakama where I actually say to him, listen, mate, they're coming for you, and give him the heads up. So there was an extra mole in the camp, but yeah. But I actually made it known to my guys. I remember Matt coming saying, we want to get rid of Dave, and I said, not a chance, no way. You got to keep him in. I actually say you wouldn't get rid of Dave. You'd keep Lockie as well. You wouldn't get rid of those two guys in the first couple of weeks. You needed their muscle.
Right, yeah. They obviously are helpful in challenges. And you said on the episode last night that you see Dave, he reminds you of your son and your brother. So was that very personal connection and that almost family connection evident to you early on?
Yeah, look, that was from the get-go. I think one of the first interviews I do when a guy asks me about, you know, what Dave means to me, actually the personality I am, and if you know me personally, you'll understand what I'm about to tell you, is that I actually break down and cry when he mentions Dave's name, and it takes about 2 minutes to console myself, and then when he asks me why you break down, I go, I don't know, give me a minute to think about it. And when I do, what I realize is that I've emotionally connected myself to David because I see the resemblance in my brother and in my son, in Dave, and in the personality as well. So when I play Survivor, I play it as if it's as real as it gets. I don't play those relationships as if they're just a surface relationship. If I tell you that I'm aligned to you, that's it. You know that I will go to the end with you and I'll do whatever it takes to keep you in the game. And I just hope that in return I cop some of that back. But if I don't, that's just a reflection of them, not me.
Well, speaking of maybe a bit of a fracture of that, you know, Jackie is someone you were so close with. It was kind of described as like a married couple. And then I think as viewers, we were a bit surprised to see you seemed more loyal to Dave than her, because we really did seem that it was the two of you that were the strongest. So can you tell us a bit about that relationship?
So what people don't understand is that me and Jackie were close. She refers to me as her island husband. I keep telling her that I'm going to divorce her every day. But what happens in Jackie's case is my alliance with Jackie was absolutely strong, and she blindsided Zach, which in turn we knew that she'd flipped to the other side. So basically she's left us. She's out. And you could smell she was never coming back. She was looking for blood. So she was going for the big moves, and she considered Dave to be one of those, and I was just protecting the nest. So she stepped back. So I think I referred to her as the dingo. So once she steps in lines, well, then you've put a target on yourself, haven't you?
Like, you can't eat the chickens.
Yeah, she brought that on herself, and, you know, and she didn't do it to me per se. That's another thing. Do it to me, that's fine. But do it to one of my people, then I'm coming after you.
before she did flip was the exile vote where, you know, you're safe, Sean has immunity, and it seems to be between David and Jackie of who's going to go to exile. So considering you were closely aligned to both of them, what was your perspective on who you thought should have gone and why?
Yeah, well, I put my hand up to go, and I said, look, I would go, and I even said in Zach's place I would go, and they just wouldn't allow for it. So, you know, I can't put myself into it. So they didn't want to send me over, and everyone was basically gunning that Jackie was the other option. Dave had his excuses, which I'll even agree were excuses for him to stay out of it. I couldn't get into exile. They wouldn't let me go. So obviously they wanted to keep my loyalty for themselves later and didn't want to risk me in that. That was about it. When I was happy for Jackie to go in, it was only because everybody was happy for Jackie to go. I mean, Jackie did in the end put her hand up and say she was going. She was pressured to go, but she did it. You know, she did go. Reluctantly, willingly.
Pretty reluctant. Pretty reluctant there.
Exactly.
Someone you had an interesting relationship with was Sean. We saw her mouth to you to vote out Mo a couple of episodes ago. You try to convince Mo of that, and she's not really buying it. So can you talk us through that interaction and the relationship at large?
I always saw Sean as being opportunistic, which she's entitled to be. She's in Survivor. But the reality was is that when we were in that boat and it was heading to rocks, obviously Sean didn't want to be the person on the out having to go to rocks with AK and the others. So she was hoping that she'd confuse me or throw me in the boat for Mo, and that would have sent Mo straight home. So I seen her reasoning and I kind of went, you know what, well, that ain't the deal. The deal was we were sending Jackie home, and I was gunning for him to go to rocks. What you don't see is I'm constantly throwing it out there. Do it. Go on, guys. I just figured they were gutless and they'd never do it anyway. And I was right. They didn't. And if they wanted to play, they had their opportunity to do it there and then, but it didn't happen. So the thing with Mo and Sean was basically you could see Sean was prepared to throw Mo under the bus.
And did you ever trust her again after that?
I never trusted Sean at any given time. I always saw her as the outer of our alliance. I was only loyal to Mo and to Dave, to be honest. I was disappointed that that Mo wasn't seeing it my way. And, you know, basically at the end of the day, the world gets to see it because it's in the edit.
it definitely happened. So you were vindicated there.
It happened. And I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I find it fascinating last night, even as Mo's exiting, no disrespect to it, she says she's carried me all the way to the end. And I'm thinking, well, actually, honey, I saved your bum there when it went to rocks. So I don't know who was carrying who.
Very true. So to take it to a bit more serious level, obviously we saw what happened with Lee, and you really were there for him, the first person to be there with him in such a horrible moment. And we didn't get to see enough of that relationship, I don't think, but I just really want to commend you on dealing with that the way that you did, which must have been so difficult. So can you talk to us a bit about having to be there for Lee through that and your relationship with him?
Yeah, well, I've known Lee. I met Lee, you know, years ago after my first season, and, you know, we became friends. I mean, I wouldn't say we were close friends. We're certainly close friends now. But we'd come out of a challenge and, you know, the challenge was split, as you know, and half of us ended up getting a reward and the rest of us went back to rice and beans. It came completely left field. One of the producers came out of nowhere and basically beckoned Lee over. We thought he was heading off for an interview, but it turned out that it obviously was the phone call that nobody wants. But look, I was just pleased that I was there for Lee. And, you know, Lee went into this game in honour of his mother. He wanted to play this game in honour of his mum because she'd been such a great support to him. We've talked about it many nights on the beach flats, you know, on the moonlit night. And so when this happens, he asked production if I can come in, and I do. And I've been in that situation times within my own family, and look, I've seen that look before, and when I saw it, I just knew the man had, you know, basically face something that nobody wants to face. And I was just happy to be there for him. You know, and I'd like to think that that's just about what any one of us would do. And you can clearly see that even when we come back into camp, you know, AK and everybody, we all surround Lee and we give him our support, you know. And it's great that he got to still, you know, honour his mother by doing the towel challenge, and, you know, that's still flowing on. And I think there's a lot of good will come out of this, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And we hope that people are still donating to that and giving that attention. Was there anyone that you wanted to play with that you didn't get onto the same tribe with at any point? Maybe they were voted out before the swap or the merge that you would have liked to be on the same beach with?
Oh, listen, I would have loved to have taken Matty with me further, you know. Oh, it would have been a different game if Matt came over. That bloke's as loyal as the day's long, I mean, and he's a legend in his own right. I just love how early in the piece he saves Jackie's bum, you know. And at the end of the day, I just would have loved to have seen how that game would have played out. I think you'd have got, obviously, a completely different game because we're just hypothetical here. But, yeah, in answer of short, Matty, I'd love to have gone further with him.
And I think I would know the answer to this based on how much you spoke about your love of the game earlier in the interview, but would you play again if the opportunity came up?
I would. I'd love to play again. And, you know, I'd love it to have it, you know, some sort of different vibe to it, obviously. But, you know, it's a bit hard. Like, you know, it's, you look in the games of past, Shane Gould was knocked out first and so was Jerry. And, you know, I think now I've probably painted a target on me back that, you know, I went so far in it that people might want to knock me out early. Or some people will go, you know what, if this guy lines up with you, you'll get to the end. So who knows? But if they ever ask me again, I'd jump in boots and all. Yeah.
I think it would be great to align with you. As you said, you know, one of the most loyal alliances that have ever been. That's something that people should definitely be opting into aligning with early in the game.
Well, you would think so. And, you know, look, to be honest with you, after the game, it's always hindsight, isn't it? But the reality is that loyalty, you know, I saw loyalty even, you know, in many forms. Like, you know, I saw Brooke's loyalty to AK and to Shawnee, and I saw, you know, Harry's loyalty as well to his alliance. So everybody in this game has a certain amount of loyalty, but maybe mine just goes that little bit deeper and, you know, I'm prepared to actually sacrifice a position, you know, for someone else. And look, I had an absolute ball, you know. There's one thing that 23 of us share in common is money. So no matter where you go out, but how you enjoyed the game is completely up to you. And I absolutely had an absolutely fantastic time.
Well, that's great to hear. And maybe that loyalty that you have is rubbing off on some of the contestants, because it was a pretty loyal game all the way around. But thank you so much for coming on to talk with us, Tarzan, and just keep safe and well out there in this climate. But thank you so much.
Yeah, no worries. No, thank you for your time. It was fun talking to you.
Thank you. You too. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Brooke, welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. Oh my God, I'm so upset. You won so many immunities. You were so close, but like all good things must come to an end. Why?
I know. Oh, so sad. But I mean, what can you do? I did my very best, and unfortunately, that wasn't enough.
Yeah, I mean, you broke some records, especially with that pre-merge immunity as well. Broke some international records, so it's so very impressive. I've got so many questions, though, about your game that I'd love to get into.
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to take it all the way back to the early days of Vakama, where that alliance gets together and you guys seem so tight. So what really drew you to each other from the very beginning?
For me, I knew that I wanted to work with Phoebe. We're friends in the real world, so that was like a given for me. So as soon as I got to the island, I knew that I had that alliance already. And then I also, as soon as I got there, I knew that I wanted a big meaty shield, and I saw Lockie straight away. And I was like, that is the one. I take that one. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, initially, like, immediately I was, like, really drawn to Lockie, and I feel like I had Phoebe in the bag. So I needed someone who was also extremely strategic and good with numbers, and that's why I was drawn to AK. That, and he's so adorable, so who cannot be drawn to AK, really?
Mm-hmm.
And then Flick, I mean, for me, Flick and I do work well together. So, like, we did for a short amount of time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, we both kind of knew that we were good at the start. Like, we had mended a few of our issues over the years. But at the same time, I knew that that wouldn't be forever. So trying to balance that, like keeping her as a number and also watching that she doesn't get me before I get her, was a huge difficulty.
Yeah. And then what about Dave? Because, you know, we've heard that you guys knew that Dave was the mole afterwards. But then you seemed really sure about him at the merge. So what were your thoughts about Dave at that point?
So initially when I met Dave, I was like, I need to get in his good book, but I don't trust him. And I really wanted Dave to like me. And I think at the start of the game, we got along so well. And, yeah, I completely, like, he did manage to make us all love him somehow. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I knew that we had to be careful of Dave. But literally up until the point we realised he was the mole, which was the day after Daisy got voted out, we completely trusted him. And then after that, you'd think that we were like, we're never working with him again. But he gave us so much hope. And there was this, during that pot holding challenge, which was our first challenge after the merge, him and I were positioned right next to each other. So we were talking a lot and AK was there, and he just really won us over and really made us think that, you know, we really desperately needed another number, and he was our best bet, unfortunately. Not a very good bet anyway.
Yeah. Do you maintain, as some others in your alliance have said, that had you gone back to tribal council in that pre-swap tribe, Dave would have gone home?
Yes, absolutely. So there was this moment that happened the day after Daisy went, and we were all in the water, and I was speaking to Lockie a lot, saying, I think Dave's a mole. And he was set on the fact that it wasn't Dave. And he was like, it's not Dave. And he's like, you're getting paranoid. I'm like, no, like, it's him. And then when we were all out fishing, it all just came to me. And I was thinking of all the little moves he's made and all the things he's said to me. And I was like, guys, it's definitely Dave. Like, there's no way that it's anyone but Dave. So we had this plan of, like, he's the next to go. And then tribe swap happened, and that completely screwed us.
Yeah, I mean, you played an idol for him as well. Can you talk us through that move?
Yeah, sure. So, unfortunately, I found my idol in front of Flick. So she's someone who, obviously, I get along with, but I do not have any trust with her. And I knew, like, for me, having an idol is great if no one knows about it. And I tried so hard to shove it down my pants when I found it. And she's like, oh, my God, you found it. Damn it.
You're like, no, I'm just shoving things down my pants. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, you know, just hiding food, you know, the usual. But, no, I quickly shoved it in my pants. I looked at Lockie. He knew I'd found it. And then I thought I got away with it until she's like, oh, my God, you've got it. And I was like, damn it. So I had to tell them. I had to tell my alliance, because for me there's nothing worse than people thinking you have an idol, and that just puts a huge target on your back. So I just straight up was like, guys, this is for our alliance. I was willing to flush it. But, yeah, he managed to trick me into playing it for him over Daisy, and good on him for that, really.
So you were definitely playing it on one of Dave or Daisy at that point?
For me, it was always going to be Dave. But, okay. That was he really worked it.
Right. To go back to Flick, it kind of came up in the edit so abruptly. You know, obviously we know it's a thing, but it's like this one episode arc, and that just can't be true. So can you talk us through how that was building and what you were doing there to blindside Flick?
Yeah, for sure. So for me, going into the game, seeing Flick was on my tribe, I was like, this could be good, because Flick, like, I knew that she wouldn't be coming for me straight away, and she wanted to make me feel good and wanted to be working with me. And Flick's the kind of person that sticks with her kind of people. Like, she likes to be around the younger girls, and she doesn't really branch out too much. So I knew that we had her for at least a few weeks. And we did. She was a really loyal vote. But in the back of my head the whole time, I was like, I need to wait for the right moment to do this and make sure that I'm not going to regret it later. And that's what I did. I waited to the moment where I had the numbers and my alliance was ready to do it. And for me at that point, it was just the best option to take her out because we're upsetting one person, whereas if we went for Harry or Shawnee, we'd lose both. We'd physically lose one and then the other one would be really off us. So it was just the best decision at the time. And, watching it back now, seeing that she was gunning for me too, makes me feel a lot better about it.
Mm-hmm. And what would have happened had you gone back to tribal council? Do you think it would have been Harry that had gone home?
Harry, yeah. Harry or, I mean, he's a good player too, so maybe they could have got me a lockout. But I think all signs led to Harry at that point.
Yeah, well, it did seem to come down, I guess, to AK, and it seemed like you guys had a particularly close bond.
Yeah, AK and I were so tight. I honestly don't think I ever would have turned on him, and hopefully he thinks the same thing. But it was good because, you know, AK and I weren't so obvious in-your-face close, and having Lockie as this person that I was very in-your-face with helped to disguise that for quite a long time, and literally no one up until the last week realised we were that close.
Yeah, even as viewers, it was like it kind of came up, you know, probably more surprisingly than it maybe should have in the edit. But if there was one time you were going to have to turn on AK, it was at that vote that ended up being an exile vote. When you guys kind of know, like, the writing is on the wall.
Yeah.
You said when you got to exile that you thought that you had saved yourself. Was there any reason you thought, was Shawnee not voting with you? Do you think AK would have got, like, a Dave to flip? Why did you think you were going home that night?
Well, I knew all of the others were voting for me. Yeah, Dave was actually really in everyone's ear trying to convince them to get me out. And the only good thing was that AK and I literally spoke every single thing through. So Dave was saying the same thing to me, get AK out. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, we just had no trust in anyone but our alliance. But I just knew a really good gut feeling about AK, and I don't think he would have ever turned on me.
But in that vote, you went into the tribal council to vote for him? Before it changed to turn to exile, was that the plan that you were going to do?
Yeah. So him and I were both voting for each other to eliminate each other's vote, just because.
Yeah, I get it. It's a hard game. Luckily, exile saved the day of that tragedy.
Exactly. Thank God for that.
Well, you've said you already had trust in your alliance, and we have heard from a few people how big the divide was between Vakama and Makuta. But you feel like socially integrated person. Did you have that divide, or do you feel like you were socially across it?
No, I think out of everyone, I'm the person who, like, I don't have beef with anyone. Like, obviously I was with my alliance, but I did make the effort to have these chats with Matt, really get along with Mo, talk to her about her family, like really find these bonds so that I knew that I had other options if need be. And if my name was going to come up, then those two people would try and steer that away. And it's something that helped me a lot in the game. Like, you don't see it too much in the editing, but Mo and I, we had a lot of discussions, and she'd feed me information about her side and vice versa. So that's something that was a huge help to my game. And also she steered people away from voting for me on her side. And yeah, I'm just really glad I made that friendship.
Yeah. I mean, I did start to pick up on that you seem to have more of a relationship with Mo than the other side have had, which is not something we've heard across the board from Vakama, I have to say. So why do you think that you had that particular relationship?
I don't know. Maybe the chick just digs me.
Fair enough.
No, I'm kidding. Kidding, she's married. No, I think it's just because, like, we both, how do I word this? We both share similar values, and I think, like, really strong family values, and it's something that we spoke about from very early in the game. And at this point, this is when Mo wasn't really leaving the shelter. She wasn't really communicating with anyone, and she didn't really make an effort to get to know anyone, and kind of vice versa. So I saw that as an opening for me. I was like, if she's not going to come to anyone and no one's going to come to her, I'm going to be that person who, you know, just goes straight up to her and asks her about her life. And I think everyone likes talking about themselves. Sorry. So I think that's something that kind of created that bond.
Mm. Other big questions. You guys were going to go to Rocks. You didn't go to Rocks. What's your perspective on the Rock decision now?
For me, I love Jackie to bits, but going to Rocks, I was only ever going to do if it was between AK and Shawnee and myself.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have risked my game for Jackie. I love her, but I never would have done that given that she wasn't in my alliance up until the day before or 2 days before. So for me, if it had fallen on AK or Shawnee, we would have absolutely gone to Rocks.
Did you have a lot of hope in Shan coming back from that tribal council?
Absolutely not. I learned very early not to trust anything Shan says. I think we've all seen why that is. But, yeah, she just let me down so many times that I was just like, Shan, I'm not saying no to Rock because of you. I'm saying no because it's not good for my game, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, one of those times that she let you down was she and Mo tell you at 5, you're all going to vote for Dave, and they vote for Tarzan, and Dave had an idol. Was anything else you would have been open to then? Did Dave try to work with you, maybe get a vote onto one of the girls?
I tried. I literally tried everything. No one would budge. I wanted to get out Shan. That failed miserably. I just really wanted anyone else out but Tarzi because he was kind of the only one that was still talking to me. And potentially, like, I did have a pretty good relationship with Tarzan too. So I just thought that was the worst possible outcome for me.
So Dave wasn't open to voting with you guys against someone like Shan. He wanted Tarzan out.
Yeah, he was really set on keeping Shan. And at one point I thought that I managed to crack him and did have a little bit of hope, but that died pretty quickly.
All of the hope for this season. Was there anyone that you didn't get to play with that you never maybe got on the same beach as, never met up at the Swap or Emerge that you would have liked to play with?
Yes, Nick, absolutely. Because him and I, we played season one together. We were so good together. We get along like a house on fire. And I was so sad to see him standing on the other mat when we got there on day one. And unfortunately, we literally never crossed paths except for that one challenge, the one reward where I went there and had the BLTs.
Yeah.
But at this point, Nick, just the only, I was like, oh my God, Nick, tell me everything. How are you? And he literally came up and said, I can't talk to you or I'll be going home, and then just walked off. And I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
That was our one exchange over the whole time.
Oh, that's so unfortunate. I usually end the interview by asking the contestants a question, but in your case, it is two different questions. So the first one is, if the opportunity comes up, would you play again?
Yes, I'm such a sicko. I absolutely love it. I think when I was out there and it was getting like pissing down with rain, I was freezing cold. I was like, I'm never doing this again. And then as soon as it's over, I'm like an addict. I'm like, oh my God, get me back out there. Like, I would definitely play again. I would love to play in the US or, yeah, I just feel like I need one more shot. So greedy of me.
Well, they say it's like childbirth. It's like you don't want to do it while you're in it, but then when it's over, you forget and you have a kid and then you're like, I'll do this again.
Yeah, I need to go have my second or third child now.
Well, the last question I have is, would you be the Bachelorette? This is something we're putting out into the universe. This is something that needs to happen. Like, if Lockie can be the Bachelor, you should definitely be the Bachelorette.
I know, right? I feel like it's only fair.
It really is.
I don't know. I've been thinking about it quite a bit, but I think I'd love it. I think I'd be a good Bachelorette, and I'd like, it'd be nice to have someone a little bit different for once, because I feel like I don't fit that general Bachelorette mold that they've had for previous years. But, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they'd do another Survivor member, but it's also a great story, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think all of the Bachelor and Bachelorette should come from Survivor. Like, once they've just started, that should be the crossover.
Yes, that's a great idea.
That would keep me watching. Yeah, exactly. Well, Brooke, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. It was great to chat to you. You won so many immunities. You did so well. And you are in that beautiful Rob Goddess spot, which is painful, I'm sure, but like an honor. So congratulations.
Thank you so much, Shannon. Have a good night.
Bye. Okay, everyone, there you have it. Exit interviews for the penultimate week. Only 3 players left in the game. Hope you enjoyed that. So much content coming at you. The recap with Leona Barra should be out already, and that was a ton of fun. A lot of venting, a lot of ranting, I think necessary ranting, so that was great. Survivor Global is happening. I had Survivor South Africa's Jacques Berger on the show last week to talk about Winners of War, and this week will be Larue Botha, who is the executive producer of Survivor South Africa, so some very unique insights there. My final Australian Survivor Talking Tribal was this week. I'm not going to be on the finale podcast, which is kind of like a different format, kind of based around the reunion. So hope you guys enjoyed that. Please do check it out, either the show on 10play or the podcast with some extended discussion, as it always is, on Australian Survivor Talking Tribal on any of your podcast feeds. Please do subscribe to that. Also subscribe to the International Survivor Wrap-Ups feed, where you get all of the RHAP content, including exit interviews like this. Hope that you did enjoy that, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Adventure of a lifetime.